And I have a confession to make to you today. I've been able to do some stuff with Dr. Busick and hear him talk, and something that he said that has just really rung true in my mind and in my heart is that a church that's truly living out holiness can be seen through its compassion. Come on now, that just gives me chills. He's been studying the shift and movement of the Church of the Nazarene over the years, and talks about the waves that it went through and how it got away from the original calling, which was to the poor and to be the compassionate example in the life of all churches. And we moved away from that in the late 40s, 50s, and 60s, and ever since then we've been on a journey back there. But church, as we live out holiness, we can't help but get close to the heart of Jesus. And we can't help but break for the things that break his heart. And so as we get into this love, today is not my typical. It's going to be a little bit different because for those of you that are looking for depth today, this isn't the day. So just hold on, because I know, no depth today. Come to Sunday school and you'll get that. But I promise you by week four, you're going to wish that it was week one again. And so just get yourselves ready. And so if you don't want to join us for one of them, abide would be the one you don't want to come to. Because we're going to talk about, just in that word, right, abide. If you want to abide in his love, there's some buts there, right, that are on us. But today we're just going to talk about, where is love from? And I want to give you an example, and I don't know how to explain this, but and I hope, men, that you feel the same way I do. But come after my wife and my kids, I don't like you. Let's just be real, right? If you love your spouse, as it says in the word, which is we come together as one, right, and we're one for good, man, you come after my wife and my kids, we have a problem, right? We should, right? And you're going to say, well, that's craziness. No, it's not. What we're going to learn today is that we are God's child, loved by him. No matter who we are, no matter what we do, he loves his creation. He loves us so much that he goes after us. He loves us so much that he's creative. Now, I'm not saying that Ashley or my kids are perfect. In fact, I don't expect much from them. And when you go into a marriage not expecting much, now I expect a couple of things, right? A good dinner, you know what I'm saying? Like a good, no, I could go on, I'm just messing around. But I do like her meals, and so, but, you know, love takes a couple of things. So for Christmas, now I don't know, we have a lot of fun. You may be staunch Nazarenes, and that's okay for you, but we have fun in our home, and so we always get each other gag gifts, and I got this. And so if you can see it, it is her head over and over and over again. Now, her father got one, too, so I don't know where I stand, but I'm trying to figure that out. Still hurts a little bit, but he wore his first, and so I said, well, I'm going to trump him, and I'm going to put mine in front of the church. He went to his, oh, gosh, no. That's a little different. That's a bigger step. And so I don't know if I can do that. But before we start, I want to give you an example. Now, when I saw Ashley in the choir at the First Church of the Nazarene in Temple, where her father pastored and where she lived and resided and sang in the choir, I don't know, something happened. I looked at her that second week in church, and I just knew that I knew that I knew. And I couldn't explain it. I called my parents and said, I don't know what's happened, but there's a love that there's something that, and I don't know, something happened and started on that day. And it quickly moved. But then I had children. And this is something that, this is not against anyone who doesn't have kids, but I often said to my wife while we were pregnant with Janae, is like, well, how do you love them? Like, I love people, but like, how am I going to have the kind of love that like your parents have for you? And she kept saying, what? It's just going to happen. Well, let me tell you something. When I saw Janae, it happened. When I saw the other three, I said to myself, how in the world am I going to love them as much as, and how am I going to make sure that, and I can start bawling right now, no offense, but like, I just don't know where it's from, but I know that I love Jesus, and he's given me a love for them because he created them for me. I didn't even realize that, but the way that he creates them for us, for the time he's given them to us, and I can't explain it, and it just keeps on growing. But guess what? They didn't have to do a thing. I'm going to start crying. They didn't have to do a thing to earn my love. And guess what? You don't have to do a thing to earn the love of the Father. And so if you don't feel loved today, it's not because he doesn't love you. And that's what we're going to get into this morning. And I want you to go to Mark chapter 1, verses 8 through 13. And I just figured as I prayed through this, God said, why not show them the love that I had for Jesus? Now, we all know they had a pretty deep love, right? They had a pretty connected love. They had a love that, like, I mean, it's hard for us. See, we want to put stipulation on love, but that's not how God works. And so if you have your Bibles, if you'll turn to Mark chapter 1, verse 8 through 13, and if you would, stand for the reading of God's word. Now, immediately, most of you know this passage. You know what's happening here. You know that John the Baptist was baptizing, and you're saying, why in the world and how in the world is this about love? Well, you're going to see. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Just giving you some words that John gave to kind of help us understand here what's happening for Jesus. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. Now, I want you to get here, okay? Jesus came up from Galilee. He actually was not doing very much except learning from his earthly father, learning from the teachers, understanding the word, understanding the ways, understanding trades. He grew in knowledge of the world and what was around him. So, I mean, really, when you think about it, Jesus, and no offense, but he hadn't done much. But let me tell you something. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." God, today, oh gosh. God, if you would just come down. You know where my heart is because you've put my heart where it is today. And so, God, today I just pray that we would receive today's word completely. God, let us get away from this, well, does he not? You do. And so today, as we get into your word, I just ask that you would come and that you would move so that as the weeks progress, we'll be able to receive the rest that you have for us. And so today, in the name of Jesus, we come against the enemy. Today, in the name of Jesus, we pray that your power and presence would come in a huge way. And today, Lord, send us out knowing that we are loved. Send us out knowing in such a way that we just want to tell other people that you are loved by God, no matter where you're at. Or what your situation is, or where you find yourself. And so today, God, move in our hearts so that we can move in others. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So let's talk about from. Aren't you all glad when you know where something's from? Y'all got to, like, interact. Because, I mean, it's the snow outside, and if you're a farmer, you should be happy. My grandfather, Farside, always said, a good freeze and a good snow is good for the crops because it killed bugs and stuff. And I don't know if all that's true, but he said it. And so I believe it. So God's taking care of the land outside so we can sit in here and take care of our spirits. And so let's think about this for a second. We like to know where things are from. I'm fascinated sometimes when I find out that my vegetables were from another country. I'm like, my goodness, how in the world did they get all the way over here? I mean, vegetables, we're not talking processed food, but we're talking vegetables. It's fascinating. Somehow it makes it, and I'm fascinated that my bananas, my Chiquita bananas, always come from somewhere different, depending on the time of the year. And then there's sometimes when I'm purchasing a product, I'll just be real with you. If I have an option to pay 50 cents more, I will buy American made because a lot of times you can go back and you can, what, talk to the person, talk to the company, kind of have that old time relationship. We're kind of doing that here at the center. We want to make sure that we have a relationship with those that are doing things in the building. And so we do. We look at where things are from. Man, when you're dating somebody, what are you doing? You're figuring out where they're, that got them to, right, the place that they're at. It's important for us to understand where God's love comes from. Well, why do I say that? Think about 1 John 4:7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. Now, we could look at this scripture all day, all in itself, by itself. We're not going to do that today, but I want you to know that true love is from God. And so when people say that love comes from somewhere else, you can say that's good, but that's not true. Because the kind of love that I understand comes from God, the Creator, the one who's created me, who's knit me together. Now the world would say love comes from, and the world would say we could love so many things. In fact, and even in my parenting, as God continues to call us forward and call us deeper, we don't use the word love all the time. Well, what do you mean? We always use it with our kids. But I don't say things like, I love pizza, or I love. We say, I like. And what happens is that even our kids, right? Janae goes to the extreme. Well, everything's bad, or nothing's good, or, you know, you get the extremes and you start. And what I'm trying to teach her is that love is unique. And we like things, but love from God is different. Love from a father to a child, a mother to a child is different. It's unique, it's sacred, and it comes from God. And if it's not coming from God, it can be good, but it ain't from God. So it isn't what he intended since he created you. Are y'all with me here? So let's talk about what love never is from God. When you think about what love never is from God, it's not based out of performance. Aren't you glad? Yeah, aren't you glad that God doesn't love you based out of your performance? Think about it. We got to get real, church. Because we're treating people around us like they should, and they're not ready for. They just need to know that God loves them and where it's from. See, what happens is, though, in our walk, we base it off of performance. Be real. If I weren't a good pastor, right, up here preaching well, you wouldn't care what I did all week. You'd say, well, he can't. I'm not saying I'm great. Every week I strive and I struggle. I still have the diarrhea. I can't help it. And then the Spirit comes on me when I get here, right, and it... I said it on the mic Wednesday, so I figured it doesn't matter now. Everybody already knows. But I still get nervous. Why? Because this isn't me. This is God speaking through me. I have to work through every day sitting, every Sunday, every Wednesday. No, I'm not that perfect old-time pastor that just gets up with no nerves and goes out. And I'm just not. And if I were to say I was, I'd be lying. But here's the thing. Some of you judge me off of my performance. Man, when you get to Jesus, you better be ready because your performance, man, it better be good because I know where my knees are. I know where my prayer life is. So when you judge me, and I'm not saying I'm great. In fact, I just said, I still don't feel worthy to do this. I still get sick over getting up here, and I can't explain it. All I can understand is that God has to fill me when I get up here. So it can't be based out of performance, but guess what? Some of you are loving people based off their performance. Why do I sit with newlyweds and say you just love them without expectation? Because when you go in and do something with an expectation, guess what's going to happen to you? You are going to be what? Disappointed. You know what? We set ourselves up for disappointment. Most of the time, it's our own fault that we're disappointed. Because we set it way up here because we think we're way up here, and so we expect everybody else to. I wonder if we took a poll on everybody else where they would say you. I'm just getting real with you all today. Because we got to start loving in a way that comes from God. Not in a way that comes from our view of someone else. Some of you are holding your spouses to standards that, my goodness, they could have never reached. You should have let them know that you had those standards before you got married. You should have let them know that the love that their dad had for them ain't going to be the love that you have unless they... See, God's love is never based out of our efforts. Now, we're going to get to the abide part, which is where the Spirit speaks to us and we move and we're empowered by the Spirit. But we're not talking about that today. We're building the foundation today. And see, it's not based on our efforts. Because guess what? If it's your efforts and it's not the Spirit, we already talked about that to build us up to this point. Think about it. The Spirit's what empowers you to be who God calls you to be. And when you start being what you think you're outside of, and so God doesn't base the love that he has for you out of how your efforts pan out or how they work or how they go. We also have to know that God's love is never based out of our success. Because you know what? My mom was a great teacher. She still is a great teacher. She retired and schools call her and say, would you come just teach this one? But you know what? She was fired because of her faith. And so that's not considered success, right? So God doesn't come down and love us based on our, because honestly, if we're living in the Spirit, guess whose success it really is? It's His. So God's love is never. Now let's just be real. We don't all believe that. And that's okay. But I'm telling you that this is how God loves. Now, let me talk to you for a second here. Jesus, think about this statement. Jesus was loved by God before He was powered by God. What do you mean? You don't think that God loved Jesus before that moment in the... In fact, that moment came and He rose up, and what happened? Man, God came down and just reminded everybody how much He loved Jesus. And guess what? He didn't love Jesus based out of His performance, because guess what didn't start yet? The ministry of Jesus. The ministry of Jesus started that day. And you know what? We may not like the love of God, because I don't know about you, but He showed His love and took the Spirit and said, lead Him into temptation. And then we pray, lead us out of temptation. And all God did was said, I love Him so much, I'm going to give Him my Spirit. And guess where He's going immediately? To be tempted for 40 days. And the angels declared His love. But guess what? Jesus hadn't done anything. When I held that child for the first time, they hadn't done anything for me. Actually, all they did was cause me many runs to Pizza Hut and on and on. And so really, when it comes down to it, and the last, 6 weeks was just, honey, I can't sleep, so you're not going to sleep with me. Does that make sense? And so we're going to talk all night because this is our chance to, and we talk enough now that we could have skipped that then and I could have had some sleep. But think about this for a second. For God so loved the world. He didn't say, for God so loved the world because the world gave God. We get it all messed up, church. Love came down. Love came first. Now, quickly, Jesus was pretty obedient. But let me tell you how we do it in the human world. You know where the money is, right? It's in the training. If you get trained well, you're going to perform well. And so we kind of consider, okay, training is really important. And then when the action comes and we see somebody live it out, right, and we see it really lived out, okay, then the reward is I'm going to love you. Let me just be real. If men would stop loving women like that they've committed to for a lifetime, maybe women would start loving their men a little different. Maybe if we weren't so busy evaluating, expecting. But see, we've got it messed up, because what happened was Jesus just came down. And He learned and He walked and he and God declared that He loved Him before He ever even performed. Church, we're loving, and maybe some of us have got it, but we're loving in a way that maybe isn't really inspired by God. When we have to work to love, you got to get back to the basics. When you have to work to be kind, when you have to work to not gossip, when you have to work to not be prideful, when you have to work to, guess what happens? And everybody else around you has to do it. And then you wonder why 40 people showed up at your funeral and it didn't happen during coronavirus. My goodness, I don't have to live up to those standards anymore. We think it's funny. It's the truth. I'm a pastor. I've done over 50 funerals. And in the truth, there are some that say, you know, I'm so sad they're gone, but my goodness, I'm relieved. I hope that's not what my kids say at my funeral. Cousin, I have loved in a... See, we don't like this. See, here's what happens is people validate us based on what we do for them. What have you done for me lately? You know how that goes, right? What have you done for me lately? And you know what happens is that we're only as good as what, when that's the kind of love, we're only as good as that day, right? Because tomorrow comes and you ain't did it again. Well, I'm just telling you that you didn't. Because in the human realm, we're only as good as what we did yesterday. I'll say, but wait a minute, I walked through six weeks with you, and now I'm walking 6 weeks through here. Well, it doesn't matter. What about today? Well, I mean, today I have to. You can play these out in your mind, right, and in your life, and in your, I don't have to play them out for you. But see, God did not validate what Jesus did. Rather, he validated who he was. Do you know what he said? He said, "This is my son whom I am well pleased." He didn't say, "This is my son, and because he, I am well pleased with him." Wonder how many more healthy kids there would be if we let them be who God created them to be and molded that instead of. God's love is always based out of our relationship to the Creator. Now, yes, you're going to say, now we're going to get there today. So when you email me tomorrow, just know I'm going to say, give me a couple of weeks and we'll get through it. Because there is an end to God's love. And we're going to talk about what that means, but not today. You know what our relationship is with the Creator? He created us. He thought about us. It's beautiful to read the scriptures about how he has knit us before we were here today. It's neat to think about us being on his mind before we were on anybody's mind. We have a relationship with the Creator because he created us. You say, well, no, it's man and woman. Yeah, who created man and woman? Who created the process? Who tells us that he knit us in the womb? You can discredit and say it's all science and say it's all, no, it's a miracle. It can't be explained fully. Why? Because it is a miracle of God. You are a miracle of God. God's love is always based out of our daughter-son status. We are a daughter and a son of God Most High. And see, if we can't believe that fully, then we can't fully believe how the Spirit works. We can't fully believe how Jesus works. Because we're so programmed in our mind that we make it about doing instead of out just being. How quickly with kids it goes from just them being ours to, well, they didn't do this today the way that I. But you know what? That doesn't change the love. Guess what? Jesus deals with us in that same way, right? Some of us mature Christians out here, we didn't say the right things this week. We didn't do the right things. We didn't respond in the right ways. Our thoughts weren't. But guess what? The love that he has for us didn't change. And aren't you glad today for that? So let's think about this for a second, this event. And now, you know, most people say, well, this is totally different than what, yeah, we're not preaching it like we normally do. This is different. And I want you to see that as he came up out of the water, guess what Jesus saw? Now, some of you may say, well, I don't want to see that dove, right? Why wouldn't you want to see that dove? Well, what did that dove do? It came, the heavens opened up, the angels declared, and then guess what that dove did? That spirit did. It took him right into the wilderness. And started that, well, wait a minute. See, this is the problem. See, we think that God's love, that once we recognize it, once we embrace it, we expect everything to just be, I don't know, like a love movie or something, right? Where it just is so, and there's a tiny little struggle in the middle of the Hallmark movie, and it's just so simple, and you could work it out if you were there with them and just say, hey, you didn't realize, they didn't actually say that, right? Oh, my goodness, you know I still get stressed out over White Christmas. Don't I? I get so mad that she gets on the phone. Now, those of you that gossip, you should learn from that movie, right? She got on the phone. She heard half of it. And then she went on and caused all kinds of trouble. And she went up to another place. And you know what I'm talking, you've watched it, right? We watch it every year at Christmas, and I just get worked up every year. She said, honey, we watch it every year. I said, I've been watching it every year since I was born, and I'm still worked up because it's not truth. And non-truth works me up because it's hard to work out once it starts running away. It's hard to get that train back. Now, what happens here is that he comes out of the water, and he sees. Man, if we would just come out of ourselves, we would see a kind of love. And you know what? When Jesus got to the wilderness a couple moments later, remember the angels praised, and they were there, and it was an incredible scene. And then he went on into the wilderness. Jesus didn't say, well, God, I thought you loved me. Did you ever hear that come from his mouth? Is that ever recorded in Scripture? No. But you know what? When that whole ordeal was done, you know what God did? He came back and sent what? His angels. And guess what they did? They comforted him. God's love didn't change. He needed Jesus to go through that. He needed people to understand that Jesus was human. He needed people to understand some things, and Jesus knew that God loved him no matter where he was at or what he was going through. See, what happens is we say, well, God didn't love us because we were in this. Well, you know, Jesus could have said the same thing. Because if you understand where his body was at after those 40 days with no food and no water, it was in a bad physical spot. Imagine, 40 days, no food, no water. Man. But yet, so here's the problem. Here's why we don't understand God's love well. It's because we confuse it with peace. Come on now. When you don't have peace, you don't think God is with you. When you don't have him directly, you don't think that. When you don't, it's just real. It's just the truth. See, the dove did not come first. What came first? This is where we confuse love and peace. Well, what came first was Jesus knew it was time. So Jesus was what? When you give your child an instruction and they do it, what's that called? You can say it out loud. Obedience. Can you say it? Because maybe some of you aren't so obedient, right? Obedience. You're probably sitting next to somebody that needs you to be obedient about something, right? I know for me, there's always something that I could. You know what? Isn't my closet doing better? That was a New Year's resolution that this year, no matter who came in, that, it would be clean. It has been clean for what, 4 weeks now? That's 4 weeks at 11 years. That's pretty good. I'm working on a trend. And so it's going to happen, though. I even vacuumed it yesterday. So, but I want you to think about this for a second. The dove didn't come first, meaning we just know that God loved Jesus. But you know what? Jesus was obedient. And guess where his obedience led him? To experience this aha moment and been swept away and tempted immediately. Whew. You call that love? Peace comes through fulfillment of our purpose, but does not define God's love prior to that fulfillment. Come on now. See, we take, well, if I'm not at peace, then God really isn't. And if I don't experience, then God really isn't. See, Jesus got in the water loved by God. Why was Jesus in the water? Because he was obedient. So what's the problem here? We define love as peace by God's works. This is where it gets hot, right? It's nice and toasty in here, and we get a little warm because we have to admit, I had to admit to myself this week that there are moments in my life where I was basing his love for me off of how he was working in my, I have a problem, and he didn't, and I was doing the right thing, and he didn't, and I was standing faithful. Nobody else saw that I was standing faithful, but he didn't come in and, but you know what, I can look back over my life and say, you know what, he did, maybe not in my timing, maybe not in what I thought was, but man, did he. Now see, what we do is in the midst of that, we define his love for us. Well, he don't really love me. And I've served him all these years. And he just, because I don't have peace. God's love comes before and after obedience. Meaning God already loved Jesus. He was obedient, got into the water. And Jesus never questioned his love for him. Went all the way through that wilderness. And guess who came back? Those same angels that were over there came back because they were the same angels receiving the same love. And then all of a sudden came back and comforted him on his way. And Jesus went on to his ministry. Think about it. So too often, think about these statements this week. Too often, we are waiting for God's peace to come first before we move into obedience. See, it gets even further now, right? Now we're taking it a little further. And so now what we do is, God, if you really love me, okay, I'm going to step into, and then you're going to... And see, here's the thing. Jesus didn't wait for the peace of God to come before he was obedient to God. Jesus never questioned the love of God out of his obedience or the peace. Jesus just knew that he was loved by God. Now, many people say, you know, well, you only have young kids and you don't know what it's like when they get older. I just don't know how to explain it, but I don't care. They're not going to be perfect. They're not going to make all the right decisions, nor did I. But let me tell you one thing. I have watched too many families say, you know what, if you don't, I can't. You can forget that. If they come back and say, I need a room, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to make some room. I'm sorry. If they say, I need a big bed, then I'm going to get out of my bed and they're going to go in my bed. That's just where I'm at. And I don't care what they do. What they need to know when they leave my home is that they are always welcome back. When Jesus talked about the prodigal son, now I may not always go out and chase them because I may not agree with what they're doing. But guess what? When they come around out of the pig pen, guess who's going to be standing there? I am. And guess what? They're going to get all that I have in that day. Even if I've already given them all that I have, they're going to get what I got then too. See, this is what's happening here. This is what God is teaching us through the love that he shows Jesus. We have got to stop defining the magnitude of God's love based off of, we have to stop. I think that what we have to do is do what doesn't make sense. Now, when you really look at agape love, there's four loves in the Bible, and this is where we'll be a little theological, but most of you know this stuff. There's four different loves: Eros love, which is passionate love; storge love, which is parent-child love; filio love, which is love between a husband and a wife; and then there's agape love. And when you translate this love that's happening in this scene, it's called agape love, which is a love that comes from God. It's a love that's selfless. It's a love that's not rooted out of anything. It is just love. It is just, hey, I just love you because I created you and I've got great plans for you and you're my creation and I'm going to, it's a free love. It's selfless love. See, we don't get it as humans because we have so many things that go with love. I will love if, I will show you if. And see, that's not how God worked. He has an agape love that he was pouring out in Mark, that he was pouring out on Jesus, that Jesus then holds on to. And what does he do? He pours it out on. It's a sacrificial love. It's a selfless love. It's a love that we have the hardest time with. Just think about the way you evaluate people around you. Just be real and think about the way you evaluate me. Right? It's okay. I know it. But church, if we started living out agape love, we'd love before and after, and then before and after. And you know what happens when we love before and after? We become more secure in our faith. It is just the truth. Because we're secure in our mindset of how God sees. All right. I just don't know. I think that the biggest thing that we struggle with here is, why in the world would God lead him into, after expressing his love for, well, because Jesus, God was saying, hey, I love you. I also love my creation, human beings. And I need you to live what they're going to live. I need them to see that you can. I need them to see that you can rely on Scripture. I need them to see that you can go through something like that and not question me. That's one of the biggest lessons in this. You know that, right? Is that Jesus never questioned God, which means he didn't question his love, his power, his place. I mean, we could make a list all day. Y'all been in a church a long time. And see, God needed this. But guess what? The angels that declared the love before declared the love after. And what a great reminder. When he comes down and redeclares that love for us, when we've just thought, where in the world? And he comes down and redeclares that, and we're reminded of our greatest temptation as Christians occurs when we lose sight of God's love and look for it elsewhere. Now, I know most of you aren't in this right now, but there is a world around you that is looking for love, and there's a song, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places. But it's just the truth. They're looking for love in all the wrong places, with all the wrong understandings, because they don't get where it's actually from. And I mean, we're talking like the root, the original. The kind of love we're talking about here is this agape love that's rooted in something that's infinite, meaning God loved him way before all this happened. God loved him way before he came down, and God loved his son in a way that's really hard for us to... So there's a door. It's before you. And yeah, this is where we get really basic. We'll get deeper as we go on in these weeks. But let me just explain something to you. There is a door that God is saying, if you would just come through it with me, if you would just understand that all these standards of love that you have aren't actually accurate, that I'm just calling you to love like I do, and I want you to just walk through. And we say it's simple, yet I think for most of us to love like God loved Jesus and like Jesus loves us, we have to strip a lot of things. And we're not really in the business of stripping things, especially when they start with my standards, my thoughts, my opinions, my. You didn't live my, you don't know my kids, you don't know my neighbors, you don't know my. And God is saying, if you'll stop living like that, then maybe you'll give others a break. Because there's some of you that need to give some other people a break. Get rid of those love standards and get back to that aha moment when you first saw your... He saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." I wonder if there are more kids out there, and I mean kids as in every age. You're all a kid of somebody. I just wonder if all the kids that are in the church, if they just, meaning you, if they just knew that their parents just, when they see them, just, "I just love you. I don't care what you're going through or where, I just look at you and know that God created you for me, and I just love you." And you say, "Well, Pastor, you've not been through it." That's true. And I hope I never get to where you are. So church, what you need to know as this first week goes on is that love is from God. And and it can only be explained by God, and it can only be received by God, and it can only flow from God. And so if you're doing it outside of yourself, then guess what? You and everybody around you knows you are. God, today,